take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're looking at that thought process of the fact that God follows through. And because He follows through, He's at work in His church. And if His church is going to do things right, I believe that these passages help us understand how to function as the body of Christ, as we assemble together and as we journey on this walk with the Lord, as we walk together, these things help us. They're a great starting point. Of course, the Word of God, Brother Pat, is filled with what idea of doing things right before the Lord and resting in Him and trusting Him. And no matter how we look at things, our flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. The flesh is at enmity with the things of God. It cannot please Him, never will please Him, and therefore we can't perfect that which cannot please Him. But what we can do is simply rest in the fact that Christ is our righteousness and that we have been crucified with Him, and it is no longer we who live. And we reckon that. We put faith in the fact that we died with Christ when He died, was buried with Him and resurrected to new life, and we put faith in that. We might not be able to see it, we might not be able to fully explain it, but we entrust ourselves to Him, and He is our righteousness. And if there's anything eternal, heavenly, divine, supernatural that takes place, it is the life of Christ at work in us, not us. Amen? So we lean on Him and give Him the glory for that. But these passages are a great launching pad. That if I want to obey the Lord, if I want to walk in His authority and power, if I just begin to follow these things that He's given us here in Thessalonians, they will help me and move me on to where God wants me to be, and He will use me if I'm ready, living in the light of His return, if I'm involved in the body of Christ, if I'm concerned enough for people that I will be there to support them, to comfort them, and even warn them and be patient with them all, and that I will be glad in the Lord, be protective of what God is doing with His people and not be a hindrance to it. And where we want to pick up tonight is in verse 16 on into verse 17 and 18, which says of these passages, 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Won't you pray with me? Father, we thank You tonight that we can humble ourselves before You, who is the uncreated One, who stands alone as Creator. And we want to adore You and worship You and spend time in Your presence tonight and thank You for sending Your Son to be a ransom for us all. Thank You for granting life to us through Christ. And we just ask tonight for strength. We ask for power. We just ask for a hearing ear, that Your will be done, that we would recognize it, it would be manifested, that Your anointing would be clear, and that we will rejoice before You in whatever You see fit to do. And we'll give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And these passages, as we talked about last night and closed out about being glad and how important that is for us. If we want to have that appeal to folks around us on the job, in the community, in the church, we need to be glad-hearted people. People who welcome the Word of God with gladness, who welcome the people of God with gladness, who enjoy the things that God does in the family of God with a glad heart, that we can rejoice in the presence of our enemies because we rejoice in God's salvation. I think about Hannah. You know, she was one who was mocked by another wife of her husband, and she didn't have any children, and she prayed, and God gave her a son. And what was her son's name? Y'all remember his name? What was it? Samuel. And when God gave her a word of what He was going to do, matter of fact, let's turn there and just look at it, because it blesses me, and if it blesses me, I think it'll bless you too. Look in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. First Samuel chapter 2. This is this idea of being glad and why we can be glad. It goes back to, as Brother Jimmy already said, if we believe God is sovereign, and He is, that should have an effect on us. That should create something within us that can't be created by the natural man. But notice what Hannah says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn, that is my praise, my strength, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." The word "my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies" is simply saying that I can smile at my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Amen? That when the enemy's mocking you and the enemy is throwing slander at you and mistreating you and abusing you and don't understand you and making fun at you, you can smile at the enemy, not to be antagonistic back toward them, not to mock them or slander them, but you smile out of the resources of the revelation that you rejoice in thy salvation, in God's salvation. Amen? You know who you are. You know what He's rescued you from. You know what He's promised you. And no matter what the enemy may say around you, no matter how people may treat you on the job, in the community, and sometimes in your own home, you can smile. You can be glad because of the salvation of the Lord. Amen? And I want to tell you, if we're going to do church right, we need to be glad-hearted people. Now, before you go all the way back to Thessalonians, stop over in Psalm 4. Look in Psalm 4. Look with Psalm 4 in about verse number 6, 7. Let's see. Let's look at verse number 7, Psalm 4. Verse number 7 says, "Thou," that is you, O God, "has put," or you can add the idea is planted, "you have planted gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." You know how excited it is. How many of you had kids graduate? That's a day of celebration, amen. That's a great accomplishment, not just high school, but graduating college and moving on. How many of you had kids get married? That's a time of great celebration. Last night I illustrated it from the perspective of getting bonuses and raises and promotions on the job. And in our day, that's the idea. How many of you ever had a really good bumper crop on your nice garden? I mean, you wanted to show that thing off. You was glad. Well, the scriptures give us a picture here that God plants gladness within the heart of His people, that we rejoice even more than when great things come our way. Bumper crops, graduations, when our kids maybe, how many of you ever had a kid sign a scholarship with a college somewhere? That's a great accomplishment. And that just produces a sense of gladness within your spirit of their achievement or what it may be. Or they have children and their children are growing and they're raising them up in the admonition of the Lord. Those are great things to celebrate. That puts a gladness in you. John talks about it when he says, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in the truth." You see, God plants gladness. He puts gladness in us when I am under His favor. And I want to be in a position that He can plant that gladness in me. Don't you want to be glad? Amen. No matter what you have to face in life, you can be glad. Now, on your way back to Thessalonians, stop off in Psalm 97. Let's see. The Word has a lot to say about gladness, and we just touching the surface of it. Psalm 97. We need to be glad. And the neat thing about it is that I don't have to conjure it up. I just trust God and He'll plant it in my heart. Amen? Look at Psalm 97. It's one of those things that you just can't explain. You know, Philippians 4 talks about Rejoice in the Lord always. What's that song we sing? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, y'all not going to catch me singing now, but I'll help you guide. I'm not a singer. How else does it go? Rejoice, rejoice. Say rejoice. You see, rejoice in the Lord always, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen? Just trust in the Lord. Pray, giving it over to Him. Psalm 97:11, verse 11 says, light, revelation, light is sown, planted for the righteous, and listen, and gladness for the upright in heart. Brother Al, there's a difference between being righteous and upright. You see, I can be righteous because of faith in Christ. By simply trusting the Lord, I can be righteous in Him. God accredits my faith as righteousness. And I am right in the Lord. I can't be any more righteous than I am right now because Jesus is my righteousness. But being that I am righteous, I have the capacity to walk uprightly with the Lord. But I also have the capacity to not obey God and actually not walk in uprightness. But when I obey the light God gives me, that He plants within me, when I respond to it, in proportion to my response to the light, will be the proportion of the gladness that He plants within my heart of walking uprightly with Him. So my gladness will be in distinct connection to my uprightness with God. When I'm upright with Him, that is, I'm under His favor. I'm trusting Him. I'm obeying Him. I'm honoring Him. I'm praising Him. I'm just resting in Him. God says, Brother Pat, He will plant righteous gladness within my heart. And you know, when God plants something, He reaps a harvest. Amen. I mean, there's no greater planter than anybody than Him. And when He plants a thing, He's going to reap a harvest. Now, that harvest comes sometimes later than when He planted. It will last longer than when He planted. It will be more than what He planted. It will be a fruitful and abundant harvest. So really, a good indicator, if I'm upright with God, that is, I'm leaning on Him, walking with Him, gladness will be the part of the fruit coming out of my life, a harvest coming off of my life that is touching other people around me, impacting other people around me, because a glad-hearted person is a contagious type of person. Right? It's a contagious type of person. You like to be around people that are glad. Now, not everybody. You remember those unhappy snappies? They don't like glad people. Because they are not happy people, and when people are sad or not happy people, they have trouble with happy people. They can't figure out, Brother Al, why you smile all the time. You ought to not be smiling. You shouldn't be smiling. You don't have anything to smile about. You got issues going on in your life. But Pat, you got issues going on. Why can you be so glad? And they don't understand that, and they get upset with you. But the humble person, when he sees a glad-hearted person, he wants to rejoice with them. Amen? How do I know that? Because the Word of God's clear on it. I told you we was going back to Thessalonians. I know we're in Psalm 97. But let's take a detour and go backwards to Psalm 34. Let's see. Look at Psalm 34. Gladness. Learning how it works, why it works, and the position to be in for it to work. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord sometimes. Is that what it says? All the time. Well, why do we bless Him sometimes when it says to bless Him all the time? Now, y'all want to fight me in here tonight. If I told you this old King James didn't say all, you would want to argue with me, right? You see, we believe that the Bible says what it says, but in our practice, we practice something else. Amen? So the Scriptures say, bless the Lord at all times. And you know what? Right now is the only time we had to bless Him. Earlier today is far spent. later tonight hadn't come, tomorrow hadn't come yet. Right now is really the only time we have to bless and honor the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall sometimes be in my mouth. Is that what it says? No, it needs to continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Listen, the humble shall hear thereof and what? Ha! There it is. You see, to rejoice with another brother that is rejoicing and praising and blessing God, you have to be in a position of humility, of being humble before God. You see, God draws nigh unto the humble, but He resisteth the proud. He gives more grace to the humble. And that's the position that we have to be in. That's that upright position, Brother Jimmy, that God plants gladness in our heart, so that when we see other people delighted in the Lord, praising God, blessing Him, throwing out the name of Jesus and testifying and giving witness and bearing record of how good and faithful and loving God is and kind. And even though you would think that they really ought to not even be saying what they're saying because of all they've been through, but they can't help but praise God. When we are humbled before the Lord, we can't help but be glad when we hear that. We want to rejoice with them. Amen? We want to rejoice with them. And then they tell us, just like the psalmist says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. And I want to tell you something about being humble. Humbleness or humility is not thinking less of yourself. That's false humility. It's thinking less about yourself. There's a difference. Did you catch that? Not thinking less of yourself as much as it is thinking less about yourself. The more you think about yourself, what happens is you start thinking either too highly of yourself or you start thinking too less of yourself, and you get into either that pride or false humility, which is pride in essence. It's just disguised or covered up. And I want you to think about how God thinks about you. God thinks if you're a believer, God calls you a vessel of His mercy. He says you're a trophy of His grace. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own peculiar people. He's made you through His blood a kingdom of priests and kings. He's going to place authority within your hand, not only to judge the world, but to also to judge angels. God has given the believer so much authority and so much power to walk in victory from Calvary. And oftentimes, if you're not careful, you'll think less of you than what God thinks of you, because you're thinking more of you and not less about you and more about Him, and you get caught up in pride and false humility, and you can't rejoice with people who are rejoicing over the gladness of God. Just thinking, you got to admit, you think a lot about yourself. Are you with me? Do you think you lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else? You do. I know you do. We all do. And what we need to learn to do, and this is where grace comes in, is really just getting into seeing what God says about us. Believing Him. Taking Him at His word. Yes, we are a work in progress. We're growing, and He's doing a work in us, and to Him be the glory. But let Him define who we are, not ourselves. Let His word be what guides us. And I want to tell you, you'll quit thinking more about you and more about Him. And when you think more about Him, you can't help but bless Him and praise Him and magnify Him. And other people that are humble and thinking more about Him are going to be glad when they see you coming. Amen? Because you are a man or a woman that fears the Lord. I know I told you. Let's stop at 119. Go to Psalm 119. Y'all thinking, we never going to get back to 1 Thessalonians. We will. Psalm 119, look about verse number 74. I love the Word of God. You see, when you are humble before God, when I'm humble before God, when we are humble before God, and we're resting in His mercy, the Bible describes that as the fear of the Lord. We've given place to the Lord. He's what we think about more, not about as much as us. And look what verse 74 says. They that fear thee will be what? They'll be what? That word glad just keeps popping up, don't it? Will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have also hoped in thy word. You see, a man that fears God, a man that is humble, a woman that is humble before God, who thinks more about God than they think about themselves, is somebody who what? Rests their hope in the word of God, not in themselves. And when they see another woman or man coming that fears God, that is humble, that is rejoicing, that is praising, that is magnifying, they are glad when they see another brother or sister in Christ. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have also hoped in thy word. Look at verse 79. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. And when they turn to me, let my heart be sound, whole, ready in thy statutes, that I might not be ashamed when they come to me. Amen. Why? Because I'm looking unto you, Lord. I've been spending time with you. I've been rejoicing in you. And I want to be able to comfort them. I want to be able to have a word from them. I want to bless them. I want to magnify you. So don't put me in a position where I'm ashamed when they turn to me. I want people to come to me. And I want to be able to talk about the testimonies of God. I want the man that fears God, that walks with him in a humble way, that God's presence is upon him. I don't want to be intimidated by them. I want a fellowship with them. I want to be around them, and I don't want to be ashamed when they come talk with me. I want to be able to dialogue with them, and we rejoice together over what God's doing in both of our lives. Amen? Because it's doing church right. A glad heart, being glad. Go back to Thessalonians, if you would. Not only do we find that we're to rejoice evermore, to be glad, but we need to be people who are prayerful. If we are going to do church right, we need to pray. And I want to tell you what we need to pray more than anything is that we need to pray that God's will be done in our lives. And to know what God's will is, we got to know God's word. And there's so many things in the word of God, Brother Hal, that we can be praying for one another in God's work over their lives, just like we have prayers in Colossians, we have prayers in Philippians, we have prayers in Ephesians, specific, distinct, unique prayers of how the brethren prayed these things over one another, that they would increase in knowledge and that they would grow in understanding, that they would walk in wisdom and know God's will, be filled up with the Spirit. And when they were praying these things, they were praying them over one another, anticipating God to do that, not just praying, oh God, would you bless them, or oh God, would you do this for them? I mean, they were specific prayers because they were the will of God. And those are the type of prayers that we need to be praying for each other. A pray in church. Let's look at a couple of them. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Notice verse number 9. How many would you admit, including myself, that I lack at times or fail to pray God's will over people's lives? I mean, I may pray for them or mention them when I'm praying about specific things. And a lot of times it's about things that they may be going through or physical things they're going through. We normally pray more about physical things people are going through. You know, praying for the sick, and we need to pray for the sick. But we're normally praying for the sick to be healed, but not really praying as much as that God would do something with their soul, with their spirit and their mind, and transform them so that, yes, not only will He heal them, but while they're sick, He can use them even in their sickness. Let's learn how to pray for one another. And listen, verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," that is their faith and love, "we do not cease to pray for you and to ask or desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fertile, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that you will give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, as and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now that's a wonderful prayer to be praying for somebody. God, that you would open their eyes so that they can see, that you would illuminate and give them wisdom. I mean, if we just started praying that over our brethren, just that one prayer right there, believing God would do it because that's His will. If we were a praying church and if we're going to do things right, we need to be praying. If we would just start praying this right here, do you think that would alleviate a lot of issues that we have to face on a daily basis? Not that we get out of trouble, but how we face trouble, how we see things, what we go through, and how God uses it to glorify His name. Why? Because He's granting wisdom to us to know what to do next and how to glorify God in it. He's given us understanding of how to help people and correlate things and put it together. He's showing us His will of how to walk in power and authority. He's strengthened us in the inner man with might and victory to overcome temptations and power against the enemy, all because we're praying over one another's lives to be able to walk in the will of God. Instead of just throwing a name out, praying for our spouse. You know, your husband or your wife needs you to pray these things over them. Amen. They'll sure start treating you a lot better and leading your family a lot better. If you mamas was praying for daddy for these things to happen, I believe that touches the heart of God when we pray the word of God over our family's lives. Amen. A lot of times we have trouble with our kids and we're praying for them more to get out of trouble. And a lot of times it's more demands we put on them because of our satisfaction more than their benefit. But we fail to pray for them that God would open up their understanding and see things the what He would want us to see. Look over in Philippians. Turn to Philippians 1. This is one of my favorites, and I ask people everywhere to pray this for me. We talked about these things here in this very church before, but Philippians 1:9. Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent." Why? "That you may be sincere," that is authentic, "and without offense," that is faultless, "till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." You hear what he said? That our love needs to be increasingly growing in knowledge and judgment, the idea of discernment, so that we can approve those things that are excellent. God really wants us to know His excellent will. He wants us to walk in it. Well, I don't think those things happen in our lives. I don't think we walk in power and victory unless the brethren are praying for us, praying these things over our kids. My girls are all married now, and it's just me and Mom at home. Praise Jesus. I'm looking forward to this season of life. And our girls, for the most part, they have been blessings to us. We've had times when our girls or our girl, well, girl, one of our girls that just had trouble with wanting to do what was right and honor us and follow our lead and kind of wanted to do her own thing and wanted to, stick a stiff neck at. Neck child is a child that locks up and don't want you to put. You ever try to put a shirt on a stiff neck child? That's tough, ain't it? When they don't want it on, they don't want it on, and you have to about beat them. And I'm not opposed to that either, you know. But you got to do what you got to do. And praying these types of things over our children. God, would you give them a love for you? And let that love grow in knowledge of you. And judgment, that they can make right choices and discern that this is you at work. Remember last night we talked about those woods that are that look the exact same at night, but we don't have light to see it. How pretty they are. The woods look the same at night. They pretty. When you're out a pretty section of woods, looks just like it does during the daytime, but it takes light to see it. Well, a lot of times our kids, our family, our friends, our coworkers can't see these things. And what we pray for one another and what we pray for our church members, those in here with us tonight and those that are not with us for whatever reason, we pray, God, would you grow them, that their love for you would grow in understanding of you and how you work, so that they, not for our benefit, that's where we got to be cautious. I have a tendency to be selfish. I want my kids to do this, or I want my church members to do this because it makes me look better. Are you with me? I look more successful as a parent that I've done the right thing in the right job so I can pat myself on the back. And we don't want our church members out causing trouble or doing things or saying things or acting like a fool or whatever it may be. So they don't want to discredit us. And that is an element in itself. But more than that, we need to be praying for one another for their own benefit, for God's glory. Amen. This is where this ends, being filled with the fruits of righteousness unto the praise and glory of God. Not that we get glory for praying, not that we get glory because we're connected to them, but that God is glorified through Christ for what he's doing in their lives, and they may never know we even prayed these things over their life, but we prayed that God would be glorified through them. Amen? To be a praying church. And the Bible is filled with different things that we need to pray. And not just for one another, but for ourselves. That desperation of hearing from God. Now go back to the Psalms real quick. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Just being desperate to hear from the Lord. Realizing that if I am not in communication with God, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a desperate place. I need to hear from him. The psalmist described it as if he was as useless as a dead man on the earth if he didn't hear from God, if he wasn't walking with him. We've covered these things here before, and the reason I always try to highlight these things is because I believe they're fundamental in our daily journey with the Lord. He says in verse number 6, I stretched forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirst after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me quickly or speedily. Hear me, O Lord. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit, useless as a dead man in the grave. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. Now that's a good word right there. That is a desperate man who recognizes that apart from hearing from God in prayer from day to day, he will be of no value to people on this earth. And to do church right, to do the things that God has called us to do, we want to have an influence and an impact, not for our praise, but for God's glory. And if I'm not hearing from the Lord in my daily journey with him, I'm of no eternal value to the people I'm coming in contact with. And David understood this. He said, God, if you don't speak to me, if you don't bless me and I don't hear from you quickly, I am in a parched land. I am thirsty for you. I want to hear from you so that I can impart what you give to me to the people that I come in contact with. Because if you don't, I have no eternal value to give away. Now, this is a man who was after God's own heart. A man for whom the New Testament says did all according to the will of God. And I believe the reason that is because he recognized that if he was not in fellowship, in intimacy, in prayer, hearing from God on a daily basis, he would be useless. And I think sometimes we miss that. How do I know? We get up in the mornings. We neglect the Bible. We neglect hearing from God because I believe God speaks from His Word. Amen. We neglect hearing from Him. We don't pray and ask Him what He wants us to do, where He wants us to go, how He wants us to influence or impact people. And we go out on our daily journeys never seeking His face first. Because we don't really fathom the fact that we are that useless apart from hearing from Him. It's essential to do church right to hear from God. There's some questions you could ask yourself each day. Number one, you could ask the Lord this. Lord, what am I, or you could ask yourself this in lieu of asking the Lord, what am I trusting the Lord today for? These things will help you. It'll help you remember that I need to hear from Him. What am I trusting the Lord for today? Remember, it's impossible to please God apart from what? Faith. And the only way to have faith, Brother Al, is you got to what? You got to hear, right? You got to have a report. You got to have a word from God. And the only way to bless God is that you honor Him through faith. And the only time to bless Him is when? Right now. So that is saying, if I'm going to trust Him, what am I trusting God? That means I got to have a word from Him. I need to hear from Him. So I ask that question, Nick, what are you trusting God for today? What are you trusting for Him to do? What promise has He given to you to cling to? Because you got to have a promise. You got to have a word you're clinging to from the Lord. And then I ask this final question, what mission, what assignment does He have for me today? So in my time of seeking the Lord, praying and going through His Word, I ask those questions. Lord, what do you want me to trust you for today? What promise are you giving to me to cling to? And what mission do you have me to accomplish today? What's the assignment from you? And in essence, that's what David was asking right there. Answer me, O God. Give me a word. Let me hear your love and kindness. The idea of His love and kindness is His mercy. It's saying, Lord, give me your covenant promises, which you want me. Show me the way therein I shall walk so that I will not be useless on this earth. I trust you. I need a word from you. Give me a mission to accomplish and I'll follow you. It's kind of like Moses. Remember when Moses said, Lord, I ain't moving. I ain't going nowhere unless you go with us. It's useless for us to leave this place unless you go. And the Lord said, okay, Moses, I'll go. And Moses was so caught up in the fact that he would not leave and couldn't leave unless God spoke to him. He says it again, we ain't going nowhere, God, unless you speak. And he said, I done told you, I'm going. Moses was looking for that cloud in the day and that fire at night. Why? Direction. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy way, and He shall what? Direct thy path. It's simply trust in God, clinging to a promise from Him, knowing what He's sent us for to do. And if I will remember that, what that will do for me is drive me to seek first the kingdom of God each and every day through prayer and time in His Word. Amen? Amen. To Him be the praise and the glory. And He'll take care of everything else that we fall in throughout the day. Now, does that trust in Him or that assignment from Him or that promise He's given to you, does those things change throughout the day? Of course they will as the day goes on. You following the shepherd who's leading you for His righteousness' sake. Amen? You just follow Him. You just follow Him and He'll bless you. But it all is going to go back to being people who are open in communication and prayer with the Lord. As Thessalonians would, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Always be open, listening for His voice, following His lead. Now tomorrow night when we come back together, we're going to actually look at the idea of being thankful in everything. We're going to look at how to be wise and how to be discerning. And I pray the Lord will speak to us. But just simply tonight, I just encourage you. If you're like me and you're like King David, as we find in His Word, And you find yourself, you could probably say in here, well, today was one of those days that I disobeyed God's word. I did not pray without ceasing. I shut the communication off early. Matter of fact, I didn't even rise up seeking his face first this morning. Now what we have to do in a situation like that is not beat yourself up over it, but just repent of it. Acknowledge it. Confess it. God, I missed the mark with you. Lord, your mercies are new every day. I'm coming before you. You are quick and ready to forgive. Would you forgive me? Would you cover that? And would you grant unto me your mercy and grant repentance to me? I want to hear from you. I need you tonight to fulfill the rest of this day right where we are. And just call on his name. I believe he wants to speak to you. Amen. And he wants to help you and guide you. And I believe he will. And to him be the praise. Would you stand with me tonight?